10. R2-D2 had been manufactured a long time ago, and those long years of experience meant that he had a store of knowledge of tricks, techniques, and strategies that made the programming of most other droids pale in comparison. And he found that he needed every one of them here, because frustratingly enough, the prison computers of this spaceport were just unwilling to set his friends free. Oh, he was able to obtain some information about them readily enough. Han and Leia shared a cell in the prison's deepest level, and were labeled enemies of the state and hold for special envoy pickup. The prison computers could be persuaded to keep secret the fact that R2-D2 was trying to get past them. He'd managed to forge himself a false ID as a security program, testing defensive program efficiency. All he had to endure from them was little expressions of mockery each time he failed to penetrate one of their protocols, which was often. The prison computers could not be persuaded that the solo cell was actually unoccupied and ready for another occupant, which would have unlocked the thing. They could not be convinced that the solos had military authority equivalent to the prison manager or head of security. They could not be induced to deliver captured explosives now held in a security division locker to that cell. They could not be tricked into transferring the solos to a minimum security level. R2-D2 beeped in agitation. Prison computers, unlike humans, were never distracted or hungry. Their attention never flagged. This would take forever, and there was an indicator in the solo file that they would be placed in the hands of out-system visitors within the next couple of hours. Distracted. Hungry. R2-D2 called up the computer protocols on prisoner needs and reviewed them. Satisfied, he made a happy trilling noise and got back to work. C-3PO got into the line of visitors and slowly, meter by meter, approached the prison's service entrance. He spoke down into the bag around his neck, whispering, "R2, I am 3 from the front of the line." "Understood." The protocol droid looked ahead of the entrance. One human and a security droid stood there. The security droid was bulky, with black armor that suggested stormtrooper defenses, and a nearly featureless face with red glowing eyes, a nightmare vision even for a droid. The human looked as though he were the droid's distant cousin, with similar armor and a similar build. He wore no helmet, and his eyes seemed to gleam redly in the light of dawn. C-3PO took another step forward. "I am now 2 from the front of the line." "Good. The timing should work."
"What timing?"
There was no answer. Now there was just one person in line ahead of C-3PO. The human guard, halfway into a brief interrogation of that person, scowled and held up a black enameled comlink. He spoke for a moment into it, then exercised an even deeper set of scowl muscles, and turned to the droid. "You take over for a minute," he said. "Payroll has to ask me a question in person." The droid nodded. When the human guard had gone, it accepted the next visitor's identichip, ran it through its own internal slot, returned it to the man, then gave him a shove sufficient to throw the visitor down the stairs. "Refused," the droid said. "Next." C-3PO moved up, irrationally feeling circuitry threatened to melt down in his vocal centers.
"Good morning, sir. I wish to enter these..."
"Shut up. Identification." C-3PO handed over the chip that had, until just minutes before, been plugged into his data pad. The security droid inserted it into the slot in its chest, then spat it out again and returned it. "Datening Food Makers is authorized to enter," it said.
"Thank you, sir."
C-3PO tried to move forward through the doorway, but the security droid's hand slapped into his chest, restraining him. "Not so fast. Present possessions for search." Reluctantly, C-3PO held his bag up for inspection and opened its top flap. Clearly visible within the compartment were Leia's lightsaber, Han's modified DL-44 blaster pistol, vibroblades, a datapad, data cards.
"This is the requested last meal for the Solos before their departure."
The security droid peered at the items. "Identify these."
"Well, The two large packages are Corellian meat lump. The one with the trigger housing is spiced, of course, and the other not. Dismayed by the ridiculousness of his description, C-3PO pointed at the vibroblades and forged ahead. Meal bread sticks, he indicated the other items. Honey wafers for dessert. No vegetables? No vegetables. I'm sure you know about Corellians. The security droid reached through its wireless data link to the base computer and brought up three-dimensional representations of the types of food C-3PO had named. The database offered recently updated visuals on those foods, which in every particular, including coloration, structure, and surface defects, matched the items in the bag. Pass, said the security droid. Thank you, sir. Once past the service entrance, C-3PO followed data microtransmissions that led him through a maze of service departments, laundry, electronic prisoner monitoring, visitor lanes. At the entrance to the kitchen, he was met by a rolling cart that slid a slot open for him. "You're sure this is the meal slot for the Solos?" C-3PO said. The rolling cart beeped irritably at him. "Do not fret. I was not questioning your competence. I was merely making conversation." C-3PO dumped the contents of his bag out into the slot. The rolling cart slid the slot closed and banged its way back through the doors into the kitchen, still beeping in a less-than-friendly manner. "Government service units," C-3PO sniffed. "Now, let us see if we can find our way back out of here." But he was speaking only to himself, until he found another datapad or comlink with a strong enough transmitter to connect directly with R2-D2. He was alone. R2-D2 had told him he was to make his break for freedom now, to exit the prison by the way he'd come, and then move northward as fast as his golden legs would carry him. The astromech had told him to be brave. "So this is what bravery is," he told himself. "How odd that it feels like petrification." Han and Leia heard the service droid moving up the line of cells. At each one, it announced breakfast in an irritating mechanical whine. A series of thumps and thuds followed. "I can tell," Han said, "that this will be an interesting dining experience." The droid whined to a halt outside their door. "Last meal," it announced. "Even better," Leia said. Then items poured through the slot in the door. Han's blaster, Leia's lightsaber, other objects. "You have got to be kidding," Han said. Leia nodded. "Well, that makes this my favorite prison ever." They scrambled to the door and sorted out their possessions. Leia flipped open the datapad, read the words. R2-D2 standing by, audio open, press advance for escape route map and return for text. Leia broke into a brilliant smile.
R2?
Standing by. Suggest you commence your escape as soon as possible. I am unable to prevent the monitored droids from observing your cell. At any moment, they may begin wondering why you are not eating your food.
Understood, Leia said.
She hit the advance button, taking a quick moment to note the first few elements of their escape path. Short hallway, metal bar obstacle, no problem. Cut through the floor into the maintenance machinery section. Got it. Ready? She handed the datapad to Han. Ready. Han took a position beside the door, his blaster in hand. Leia lit her lightsaber. She drove the point of the gleaming red bar of energy into the door at floor level, dragged it across the bottom of the door. She felt heavy resistance that had to be the metal bars there. Once she was past that, she repeated the process at the top of the door. Her blade not quite horizontal because she was not tall enough to hold the lightsaber that high. Once she was past the heaviest resistance there, she retreated into a defensive stance and nodded. Han shoved. The door slid halfway open. He snatched back his hand as two guards on the other side fired blasters through the opening. Leia caught both shots with her blade, batting one to the side, the other back through the opening. It struck a blue-clad guard there in the chest, and he went down, his uniform flaming and smoking. Han leaned out and fired twice through the opening,
catching the other guard in the side and hurling him out of the way. He shoved at the door again, and it opened the rest of the way. Han and Leia rounded the corner to the barred exit from this cell block. Han waited behind and began firing back the way they had come, while Leia went to work on the bars, cutting through three of them at head height and again at ankle height. Incoming blaster fire flashed past Han's position, blackening the wall behind him. "Got it," he called. "Got it. Come on." She slid through the gap and turned to face Han. He raced to her, leaped through the gap. In those few seconds, prison guards skidded into view past the corner he'd vacated. They began firing. Leia swatted the bolts from the air, reveling at being able to do something so simple, so gratifying, so direct. Some of her deflections sailed back the way they'd come and forced the guards into hiding. This corridor was nothing but a duracrete tube angling gently upward. Han raced up it, pacing off a distance. He consulted the data pad in his hand, then fired his blaster into the floor, marking one point. "That's our mark." Leia raced to join him and plunged her lightsaber into the floor there, dragging it around in a crude circle. Han waited until he saw the first set of feet appear at the bottom of the ramp, then began firing on the pursuers. "How's it coming?" "Slow. I forgot at first to angle the cut outward instead of inward." "What difference? Never mind." Cutting through the duracrete with the edges angled inward as they descended created a plug that would have to be hauled up. Cutting it the other way would yield a plug that should just fall away, except that it didn't. Leia finished her cut and stepped back, panting, and the plug remained stubbornly in place. Han continued firing. "R2," he shouted. "How thick is the duracrete here, anyway?" He stole a glance at the datapad screen. "Less than a meter." "Then why doesn't it fall?" Aggravated, Leia stamped on the plug. It remained obstinately in place. "Check the map again," she said. "Maybe we'll have to cut through somewhere else." "You check it." Han tossed her the data pad and fired three times in quick succession. Return fire bounced off the duracrete around them. "I'm obviously not fit to read a map."
"No, you've got it right."
"Fall, blast it, fall." Han stomped on the plug. It didn't vibrate. He leaped clean upon it. It fell. R2-D2 sent the command through the cable that snaked out through the false escape pod to the landing bay door computer data jack. Immediately, his audio sensors picked up the grinding noise of the bay roof levering open. He ejected the cable from his own data jack and watched it snake down through the hole to the bay floor below. With a little musical squeal that betrayed his eagerness, the astromech rolled out of the escape pod and up to the Falcon's bridge. He plugged into the data port there and began an abbreviated computer speed power-up sequence. It wouldn't take long for the spaceport authority to realize that a supposedly unoccupied bay was opening to release a supposedly impounded transport, and he wanted to be out of here by then. It wasn't every day R2-D2 got to fly the Millennium Falcon, after all. Captain Mudlath was in his office, calculating just what he could purchase with the Solo reward, when his comlink buzzed into life. "Captain," his administrative aide told him, "the Solos have escaped." Mudlath actually felt himself grow dizzy for a moment as adrenaline jolted through him. "This had better be a joke," he said, "and a funny enough joke that I laugh until I forget about killing you." "They're not out of the prison," his aide said. "They won't get out, but they're out of their cell." Mudlath lowered his voice to a near whisper. "I suggest you put them back in their cell." Not waiting for a reply, he switched the comlink off, then sat back to try to persuade his stomach muscles to unclench. If he didn't get them back, well, his peace brigade superiors would not only decline to reward him for the capture of the Solos, but they might choose to take the news badly. And if things continued as they were, and the Peace Brigade became the legitimate government of this backwater planet, he might have to leave, quickly, surreptitiously. Jarred back into activity, He reached into a desk drawer and pulled out a handful of identichips taken from prisoners. Perhaps with a little modification, one of them would serve to get him off-world. The duricrete under Hung's feet fell into darkness, but only about 3 meters, a deep enough drop for him to begin to worry that he was dropping into a mine shaft, a short enough drop that, with his experience, he was able to absorb most of the shock of impact with bent knees, to roll forward off the plug and across another hard floor to come up on his feet with a minimum of bruises. A minimum, not none. His middle-aged back would feel that one in the morning. Amazingly, he still had his blaster pistol in hand. He was in another duricrete tunnel, this one illuminated only by the hole overhead, a hole in which Leia's face suddenly appeared. "Are you all right?" "Get down here." She leaped in head first, rotating in midair to land on her feet atop the plug. Her landing was so light compared to his that he couldn't help but grin. "You do that just like a Jedi."
"Hush, where to now?"
She handed him the datapad. He checked the datapad screen and turned in the approximate direction they'd been running while in the tunnel above. "There'll be a metal door there giving us access into a metal scrap compactor. We take a left and get out the door at the end." "No, Han, not another compactor. Once in a lifetime is enough." The map on the screen suddenly blanked, replaced by words. "I initiated a power shutdown on the compactor. It cannot be activated until it goes through a full startup procedure. It will be 3 hours at least." "Well," Leia allowed, "that's all right then." More shapes blocked the hole above. Han and Leia ran before they could begin firing. Seeing through the Falcon's holocam eyes and sensor screens, R2-D2 sent the transport up on repulsor lifts. The transport wobbled like a plate being balanced atop a stick, and he marveled that humans, with their reflexes that crawled in relation to the speed of droid calculations, could learn to pilot vehicles so well. He managed to get the Falcon clear of the bay before its ceiling panels began to swing down again. His trill was a little like laughter. The spaceport authorities had noticed just a little too late. Now that he was above the bay, he was clear of whatever comm-jamming equipment they had put in place. He could once again detect and interact with Han and Leia's datapad. Now he had to make sure he got the Falcon to the prison. Not just to the prison, he reminded himself, but to the prison and in one piece. Furious, Han kicked at the pile of metal scrap leaning against the exit door from the compacting chamber. "R2, you didn't say anything about having to dig our way out." "Sorry, the computer system didn't mention that the compactor was half full. They are in violation of their own regulations. That is probably why they do not have the load listed." "Leia, can you cut through this, or through the wall?" Leia bounced her lightsaber blade off the glossy blue wall of the chamber and shook her head. "Magnetically sealed. I can cut through the pile in a few minutes." Then she heard the sound of mechanical voices from behind her. She spun, "Which we don't have." A security droid entered through the door Han and Leia had used just moments before. The droid fired as soon as his barrel cleared the door, and continued to fire as he sprinted to the wall opposite the door, where he took a position, laying down covering fire. Leia batted the first blast out of the way as she and Han got behind cover. The cover was good, heavy steel scrap that easily absorbed the energy unloaded by blaster rifle shots, but missed shots ricocheted off the walls, propelled by the magnetic shielding, and inevitably one would bounce down into Han's or Leia's back. Then a second droid entered the chamber, and a third, and a fourth, all of them firing. "We're sunk," Leia said. "I don't think so." Han glanced around, found a more protective niche in the scrap, and sidestepped into it. He rose high enough to return fire for a moment. 6, 7, 8 of them. The more the better.
"The more the better?"
Leia slid into place beside him. "Yeah, when we get enough of them in here, we can't possibly lose."
"Now I know why you never want to be told the odds, because you don't know what they mean."
Han grinned at her. 9, 10, 11. That's good enough to start with. Can you get me a couple of those blaster rifles?"
"You planning on shooting our way out of here?"
"That's right. Please, Leia, 2 rifles. Leia hesitated, caught off guard by Han's rare use of the word please, then said, "Cover me. Go." Han popped up and squeezed off several quick shots. Leia stood from behind cover a moment later, saw several of the droids aiming to return fire. Some of them had to hold off firing to avoid hitting more droids charging into the chamber. With the Force, Leia reached out toward one of the late arrivals, a droid who held his rifle in a loose grip. She yanked toward her, and the rifle came sailing to her hand. Before it landed, she repeated the trick on the next droid entering the room, and his rifle, too, leaped from his possession and into Leia's. She ducked down with Han.
"Now what?"
"Battleship tactics." He hauled on the heaviest plate of scrap metal in their vicinity, toppling it so that it covered the two of them almost completely. Their improvised fort was now lit only by the red glow from Leia's weapon. Han indicated two spots on the plate. Holes here and here, fist-sized. Leia complied, burning two apertures in the metal. The air now stank with the odor of superheated durasteel. "You won't be able to see to aim." "Who needs to aim?" Han picked up one rifle in each hand, switched each to full auto fire, inserted the barrels in the holes, angled them up more toward the ceiling, and began firing. Leia switched off her lightsaber and crowded back as far away from the rifles as she could, holding her hands over her ears. The roar in this confined space was deafening. Han rocked the weapons back and forth, slowly changing his angle of fire left to right, up and down. The metal plate shuddered as it began sustaining hits. Han turned to Leia and flashed her a manic grin, then closed his eyes and kept firing. First, one of his rifles clicked down to zero and stopped firing, then the other. But the sound of ricochets continued as shots bounded from one end of the compactor chamber to the other, bouncing again and again until they hit something not protected by the chamber's magnetic seal, such as scrap metal, such as droids being transformed into scrap metal. When there were no more blasts or impacts to be heard, Han maneuvered the metal plate aside and peeked. Leia also leaned around the plate to look. The droids weren't completely destroyed. She saw one walking back and forth with half his head gone, clicking the trigger of a rifle that was missing its middle section. Another droid spun around, his upper half turning one direction and his lower half the other, causing him to roll erratically across the floor, but most were down, motionless. "I'll watch the other door," Han said, "if you'll cut through the pile here and get us out."
"Love to."
The exercise yard guards looked up as the Millennium Falcon awkwardly maneuvered into position above the yard. The guards raised their blaster rifles and opened fire. R2-D2 saw their assault through his link with the transport's holocams and felt a momentary thrill of dismay and an anticipation of damage before his probability calculations indicated that their shoulder arms would not be able to harm the ship. He brought the Falcon down several meters until the keel was just above the ground and hovered there. Han and Leia emerged from a side door in one of the walls bounding the exercise yard. They drew the guard droid fire from the Falcon, but Han fired with his blaster in one direction, keeping droids harried and defensive there, while Leia deflected each and every blaster bolt aimed at them from the other direction. R2-D2 lowered the starboard boarding ramp, and in moments, Han and Leia rushed up to the cockpit. R2 raised the ramp. Leia gave R2-D2 a pat on the dome before settling into the co-pilot's chair. "Well done, R2. He wheedled at her, sent one last message through the data port, then unjacked himself. Han peeled off his piratical tunic and scrubbed at the false scar over his eye as he looked over the control boards. 3PO's on foot north of here. Get into the topside laser turret. We'll scoop 3PO up and then punch out of here."
"To space, I assume," Leia said.
"To the forest." Han flashed her a lopsided grin. "Trust me on this." The spaceport was protected by a quartet of aging Z-95 headhunters, venerable predecessors of the X-Wing. While they made cautious runs in the distance, unwilling to strafe a transport so close to the ground, Leia helped keep them at bay with judicious use of the Falcon's top turret. Han guided the Falcon north over the bays, swooping down once, just long enough to lower the boarding ramp and give C-3PO time to hurry aboard. Then Han kicked the thrusters in and headed northwest, the direction with the nearest heavy stand of forest. As he neared the leading edge of old-growth trees, some of which reached to the height of 20-story buildings, he rotated the Falcon until the ship was perpendicular. The Falcon slid into the forest like a vibro-knife into blue butter. The pursuing headhunters broke off pursuit, scattering, climbing above the treetops to look for the Falcon from an altitude. After a few hundred more meters of nerve-jangling maneuvering through the trees, Han tilted the transport back onto her belly and settled down in a shadowy glade.
"If I may ask, sir," said C-3PO, as he desperately clung to the restraining straps on his seat, "why do we not just go into space?"
"Because someone was aboard the Falcon," Han snapped. "And do you know what happens every time someone I don't like comes aboard?"
"No, sir."
"They sabotage something, usually the shields or especially the hyperdrive motivator. I hate that. Leia, take over at the controls while I see what they did."
"Yes, Captain. Right away, Captain."
Leia trotted into the cockpit, took the pilot seat as Han vacated it, gave him a kiss as they made the transfer. "You know we're only going to have a few minutes here before they find us and bring in the heavy guns. Then let's hope I'm as good a mechanic as I know I am."
"Anything I can do while we're waiting?"
"Get on the comm board and see if you can find their comm traffic. That may give us an idea of how much time we really have."
"I'm also going to put in a call to our smuggler contacts, let them know we have to leave in a hurry."
"Very polite of you. Very proper."
"Oh, shut up."
Han didn't take long to find it. The hyperdrive motivator had indeed been sabotaged. Someone had installed a simple fuse that would hold up to a system check, but would blow the first time real power surged through the system. In the hyperdrive motivator compartment, the saboteur had also wired a tracking device. Han rerouted the hyperdrive power the way it was supposed to be, then threw the tracking device out an airlock. He returned at a run to the cockpit and slid into the pilot's chair as Leia, still in her comm-unit privacy headset, vacated it and took her own seat. They watched as, in the distance ahead and to port, a long-nosed flying vehicle edged through the trees.
"What is that?" Han asked.
"Vong or local make?"
"Can't make it out," Leia said.
"Well, let's just outfly it and identify it later." Han powered up the repulsor lifts and stood the Millennium Falcon on her stern. He heard noises of unhappiness from C-3PO and a wild squeal of dismay from R2-D2. As he accelerated up through the treetops, he grinned over at Leia. "Forgot to tell them we were taking off."
"Uh-huh."
"Leia, you have to admit, that was fun."
"Fun. Getting kidnapped, jailed, threatened with torture, shot at. Fun."
"That's right." Leia felt her face twist into a smile she had no control over. "All right, all right. Despite everything, it was fun. Welcome back, Princess."